I need you here on my mind every hour of the day. Without your sweet inspiration,
it's Tuesday night. It's 7 p.m. on the left coast, which means it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 Media. This is Tammy Jackson, and as usual, I'm welcoming you to an hour of sweet conservative inspiration. If you'd like to do so, go ahead and interact with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. Follow me at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. Too short not to follow, right? My guest tonight is Bridget Cronin, the executive director of the Ars Bellum Foundation. Bridget Cronin comes from a family of combat veterans who have served in nearly every war from the American Revolution to our current wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Pretty amazing stuff. What a legacy. Bridget Cronin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Tammy. I appreciate it.
Yes, well, as soon as I heard about you, I have a friend back there in the area that knows you. I guess you guys are acquaintances or friends, and he knows what mm-hmm. you're doing with veterans. And he also knows that I am a huge fan and supporter of our vets, our military, et cetera. And I have a lot of friends that are Gold Star families, a lot of veteran friends. So I'm really excited to have you on. And your background, I mean, your proud tradition of combat veterans, that is really, really amazing.
Well, and some of it is new knowledge to me. My own family history that I had done took us back to World War One, and I've had a family member in every war from World War One. But then I got together with a cousin of mine who had researched our family all the way back. And wow. As it turns out, yes, we do have veterans from pretty much every war in American history.
That's incredible. I'm a recent newcomer to, or my family is rather, to this country because my grandparents came over from Norway. But so I had great uncles in World War II, and my mom had cousins that were in the Vietnam War and mm-hmm. still alive. And you know, so I'm proud of that. But wow, all the way back to the Revolutionary War, that's pretty tremendous. What a legacy.
Yeah.
You've been doing a lot of work. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you've been doing so much work in fundraising, but in particular for autism advocacy and treatment. And this is really fascinating to me because I remember hearing about autism. I might have been in my 30s or something like that, that it wasn't something I heard about when I was young, but it started coming more and more to the fore, and people knew so little about it. You have a son with autism. How old is he? Yeah, and how did you first discover that he was autistic?
Well, he's 21 now, and when he was born, he was born medically complicated. So we always knew there was something, but it took quite a while to unravel all of the different pieces that were going on with him. And so he wasn't actually diagnosed with autism until he was about 4 and a half. Which is late. Now they try to get them diagnosed by the time they're about 2, which makes a big difference in their development, especially if you can get them good therapy early on, because that's when their biggest growth occurs and their biggest development occurs. So the group that I worked with at the time was a group of parents called Families for Effective Autism Treatment, and it was a group of parents who wanted to bring intensive early intervention behavior therapy to Minnesota. At the time, this is back in 2000, 2001, right in there. At the time, there were only 8 other states in the country that had funding available for it so that kids whose parents couldn't pay for it because it was expensive were still able to access that therapy. And they asked me to help them because I had some background in legislative politics and understood how legislation works, and I had a fundraising background and all of that. So I worked with them on a grassroots campaign to educate the legislators and get a bill passed that authorized funding. And it wasn't new funding. It was just an expansion of what was available to the to these kids. So it was a really tremendous move in Minnesota for children who had autism. And that center has now grown into, I think, the second largest provider of autism services in the Upper Midwest. It's called the Minnesota Autism Center now.
It's so fascinating to me. Now, where are we in the whole treatment of autism? Do they know what causes autism? Just where does that stand?
There's been a lot of research done. There are some genetic markers that they've identified. There's still a lot of speculation as to what really triggers it, because you have some kids that have a genetic marker and don't develop it. Their siblings who have the same genetic markers do develop it. So we're not sure what those triggers might be. And there are different subtypes of autism, too. So different kids respond to different kinds of therapies, which is not uncommon with psychological and mental and neurological illnesses.
So with your boy, is he now, I know that isn't there probably a whole spectrum of autism where, you know, it's more profound or less profound. And so is he someone, if somebody met him, would they say, ah, this person has autism? Or is it something that he's had therapy for long enough that the average person wouldn't even discern?
No, they would know that something is wrong. They wouldn't know what it is, but they would know that there was something, partly because he's not able to speak. He communicates through sign language and through communications apps on his iPhone.
So he's
able to, you know, communicate with people, but not through verbal words. So they would know something's wrong with him. But he's very engaging. He's very friendly. He is very helpful. He's incredibly polite. You know, he's the kid that holds doors open for people and, you know, picks things up for people when they fall on the floor. He's that kind of guy. He's just a sweetheart.
Wow. Well, it's interesting because so many people that I've talked to that have had kids that had any level of special need, you know, there's so many different things that happen. But mostly I have heard from anybody that has had any child that whether it was autism or physical challenge of any type, whatever it was, most of them said that the child ended up being a huge blessing to them and that they learn things through these kids that they might not have learned otherwise. So I think I always figure it takes special parents to be entrusted with a kid that needs a little extra help.
Well, I can tell you that from my perspective as a mom, and he's my oldest, I have three daughters as well.
Right.
But having him as my first made such a difference to me as a parent. I would not be the woman I am today or the parent I am today if I hadn't had him first and gone through all of the things that I had to go through to advocate for him, to learn what he needed, to get him what he needed, to be that parent. And
right.
I'm incredibly grateful. He's a huge blessing.
Yes, I would assume that you would say that, and because I've heard things like that from so many parents, regardless of the issue that their kid had, that they all felt that same way. And I like to say, there's a quote from Dr. James Dobson where he used to talk about parents that are advocates for health for their kids or even for education for their kids, and he said, you can't pay a person to do enough for your child what a parent will do for free, because the love that the parent has, that you're just the instant advocate, you love that child, you're going to do what it takes to help that child, and you cannot pay any kind of specialist, doctor, etc., enough to equate to what that parent will do for that child. So it always touches my heart when I hear these stories, but obviously it's also helped touch your heart and enabled you to work through the system and to be an advocate for special needs people. So It was almost a training, and I imagine you're using it at the Ars Bellum Foundation.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up, because it really did provide an excellent background for me to be able to apply to this new organization that we started 3 years ago.
Wow. Wow. So talk a little bit about Ars Bellum Foundation, and people can find it at ARS Bellum, B-E-L-L-U-M, foundation.org. On the website, I'll read the primary mission and then I'll let you talk about it. Our primary mission is to provide evidence-based art therapy programs to veterans and military family members dealing with PTSD and related mental health conditions due to service-related trauma, loss, and grief. So talk a little bit about the foundation. How did it come to be founded? And I think Niles Thornburg was one of the founders as well.
Yes. We founded the organization 3 years ago, so very early in 2014, and it was a small group of active duty service members and their wives who were stationed in Germany. I happened to be really good friends with Niles' wife, Kate, and they were seeing a lot more service members coming back with issues than they had seen previously. Niles is now retired and back in the States, but he'd been over in Germany for 15 years. And so, when he saw some differences, they decided that they wanted to do something. And one of his friends had used art therapy when he was diagnosed with PTSD in 2011 and used it very successfully. So they decided that they wanted to do something for their brothers and sisters in arms back here at home, but they were over there in Germany. So Kate called me and she asked me if I would be willing to help them put the organization together and kind of figure out the model. And I said, sure, of course. So we did the initial paperwork and set it up and did all of that. And then in April of 2014, she asked me if I would help run the foundation, because they needed to have somebody here who could actually put the program together. And she knew that I had background in putting mental health programs together, based on my experience with the autism group. So I said yes, and I immediately grabbed a couple of friends of mine who had been with me during that period, and we started doing some research. We met up with the director of the master's program for art therapy at Adler Graduate School in Richfield, Minnesota, which happens to be our backyard, and they agreed to be our program development partner. And then Tee It Up for the Troops was gracious enough to give us a seed grant that got us started, and we launched our first pilot program in February of 2015. And we've been growing ever since. We just keep going.
it's really, really interesting. I was reading everything I could from the website. At the website, it makes it clear. It says, we expanded our services to include Gold Star families, military children, spouses, and caregivers. We do not screen out veterans based on discharge status, prior diagnosis, and treatment, or ability to pay. In fact, many of the veterans in our programs come to us at high risk of suicide. We are here for you. End quote. I know some Gold Star families. They are pretty amazing. And I was interested in the whole art therapy thing. How did that come to be? How did you figure out that that works?
Well, it started actually back in the early 2000s at Walter Reed Hospital. There's an art therapist there by the name of Melissa Walker. And she did some pioneering work with PTSD patients using art therapy to try to get at what their problems were and try to help build their resilience, help them process whatever it was that was going on, and help them develop coping skills and be able to rebuild their lives. And she had a good amount of success. And so in 2007, Vanguard Magazine, which is the VA magazine that they put out every 2 months, did a big feature article on it. And we referred to that article, and that led us to a plethora of research studies that went back as far as 1997, showing the efficacy of art therapy in reducing symptoms of PTSD in patients, and especially military veterans. So we took all of that research, and we connected again with the art therapist and the art program here at Adler, and we just worked it out. And we made some changes because we didn't want to have an inpatient program, which was what she had. So our program is outpatients. It's a weekly program, so our groups gather together once a week for 2 hours at a time. The programs have been going for 8 weeks at a time, but now we're expanding them to 12 because our research has shown that it just works better. So we take a lot of data. We use the same assessments from the DSM-5 that every other mental health practitioner uses. All of our stuff is consistent with what the VA uses. We're HIPAA compliant, and we take it very seriously. Our art therapists are board certified, master's levels, mental health professionals. And we work with combat veterans, women veterans with military sexual trauma, military kids, Gold Star families, spouses and caregivers. And I was actually approached last week by a surviving spouse of a veteran who had committed suicide who asked me if we would be willing to explore doing a program for survivors of those who have committed suicide because there's not a whole lot out for them out there.
Yes.
And
wow.
And the other problem that what we were running into or that veterans were running into is that because of VA policies and that have only very recently changed, if you had less than an honorable discharge, you weren't eligible for VA coverage. So they couldn't even be seen. And in a lot of cases, those veterans got less than honorable discharges because they were having mental health issues that were causing them to act out. So you're denying help to the people who need it the most. Didn't make a whole lot of sense to us. And the other problem is that the VA is just swamped. I mean, we've all heard the stories about the wait times and all of that kind of stuff. And we're not here to fight with the VA. We're here to provide an additional resource to be part of the solution because we want to help more veterans get healthy, go back to their lives, and have healthy civilian lives.
Which is fantastic. Also, on the website, it says, a second part of our mission is to educate the public about post-traumatic stress disorder, to dispel myths, and to let our veterans tell their stories in creative ways. Bridget Cronin, people are in general cognizant of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, but what is the reality? What are some of the myths that need to be dispelled?
Well, one of the biggest problems that people who have, especially combat-related PTSD, but PTSD in general, veterans who have PTSD often get stigmatized as being time bombs waiting to go off. You know, there's this perception that because this person has been in combat or because this person has PTSD, you know, should they be able to carry a firearm? Are they going to be safe in a job environment? Are they going to be safe in their relationships? You know, those kinds of things. And the fact of the matter is, all those answers depend on the individual. And there's no more reason to deny a veteran a job application or a firearm license or a marriage license because they have PTSD than any other thing. So one of the reasons that we do a public art exhibition, we call it Beyond the Battlefield, is to show the public that there's an entire range of experiences. There's an entire range of reactions. There's no two veterans that are exactly the same. And it's not fair to lump everyone together and say, oh, because you're a veteran, you're this. There's no little box for that. And just because a person experiences trauma in one part of their lives, it doesn't mean they can't go on to a different part of their lives and move past that. That's all possible.
Right.
And in fact, our programs show it. After 8 weeks in our programs, the veterans there demonstrate a 28% reduction in their intrusive PTSD symptoms and a 16% increase in resilience and quality of life factors. After 12 weeks, it goes to 44%. After 16 weeks, it goes, we've got really good data now after 3 years of programming to show what this does and how it works and why it works. And it works for veterans that typical VA therapies don't work for.
I can imagine.
So we're getting a part of the population that nobody else is reaching.
Right, right. No, it's fantastic. In fact, I have a friend that I see every Sunday in church, and he has PTSD, and he was a special forces guy in the sandbox, and he has a helper dog named Reveille, and yep. Reveille goes everywhere with him, including church, and it's wonderful, mm-hmm. and that's his PTSD dog. She's a beautiful golden retriever. She's been specially trained, and she makes all the difference in the world to Brian, and Brian is a big teddy bear of a guy. He's a Hulk. You can see him as a special forces guy for sure, but he's got the world's biggest heart, and he and his wife both say that that dog has made all the difference in his life. So I can imagine animals can do that, but art, being able to communicate feelings, these are guys and people that oftentimes words just don't convey what they're feeling. So I can imagine that art would touch that part of them and allow them to communicate.
That's true. And there's a couple other reasons why group art therapy programs tend to work especially well for trauma. When someone goes through a traumatic experience, like an IED blowing up your vehicle, or, you know, your base getting mortared, or, you know, whatever it is, the brain stores traumatic memories in pieces, in fragments, okay? And that's mm-hmm. why some people get triggered by a smell, and other people might get triggered by a sound, and other people right. might get triggered by a special or a certain visual cue. So when you work with arts, you're working with materials with all five senses. It completely engages you. And so it helps to draw those pieces of memory out until they can start to reintegrate. And then you can start to think about them consciously, and then you're better able to talk about them.
Wow.
So it's kind of a starting point.
Yeah,
starting point. And the other advantage is that a lot of veterans who are at risk here, especially for suicide, often get to that point because they feel isolated and they feel like they lack a sense of purpose. And when they are in this group of fellow veterans with similar experiences, suddenly it's almost like a new unit. Okay. They're suddenly with people who get them, who understand them, who have the same sense of humor. They can laugh at the same dark jokes. Nobody, you know, there's no judgment, all of that kind of stuff. And so they tend to help each other really well. Our groups bond very tightly.
Wow.
By the way, tell your friend Brian.
Yes.
Your friend Brian that I said hello.
Yes.
My chapter here, my Special Forces chapter, chapter 20, made me an honorary member of the Special Forces Association last winter for the work that I've done for them over the last 2 years.
Oh, very
cool. So I was actually at the Special Forces Association convention in Fayetteville earlier this summer.
Oh, that was a trip.
I'm sure.
I have a lot of friends that have been in Special Forces, and I just have no amount of respect for them, just like I do all the service members. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about Skydive for Vets. This sounds really, really cool to me. And tell us exactly, what is Skydive for Vets?
Okay. Well, this is where the Special Forces Association and the special relationship we have with Ars Bellum together got started. So when in 2014, when we were getting going and I was looking for sponsors and I was looking for people to support our program, I decided that I was going to go to the Special Forces Association and ask for their endorsement, because I figured if the Special Forces guys said it was okay, nobody else could say it was PNZ thing to do, right? So I went to one of their meetings and I explained what we were doing, and they decided that before they gave us an answer, one of them wanted to come and experience one of the sessions to see what it was like. So we held a session so that he could come and ask questions and learn how it worked. And he didn't say very much. In fact, he said barely anything. We finished the exercise and got time, you know, everyone gets time to talk about their project or whatever. And he decided that he was not going to talk about his, which was fine. And then at the end, he said, thank you very much. And he got up and he left the room.
Oh.
And I looked at my fellow board members. Now, this is a Special Forces vet who served in Vietnam and Rhodesia. So he's been places.
Right.
And I looked at my fellow board members and I said, okay, one of two things has just happened. Either something clicked in his head and he's not ready to talk about it, or he hates this. There's no in between. So I went to the next meeting the next month, and he recommended that they sponsor us, that they give us a donation. And while we were there, they talked about an honor jump that they were doing to memorialize a jump from World War II, a Special Forces jump from World War II. And I asked them if I could go. And they said, yeah, right. Because I'm like, 5'6" and 140 pounds. And they said, sure, there's no way you're going to jump out of an airplane. And I said, oh, yes, I am. You have no idea how much I want to do this.
Yeah.
So we decided to make an event out of it to raise awareness and raise money for Ars Bellum by everybody being able to watch me jump out of an airplane. So we did. And I have a video of it, and it was the best time of my life. And so we've been doing it every year since. This is our third year now. And now we have Super America as a sponsor, and Tee It Up for the Troops gets involved, and we get, some wounded disabled warriors come with us, and it's great fun. It's great fun. And I do jump out of an airplane at 13,000 feet. It's a tandem skydive, so I'm safe, and it's yes. fun. It's the best yes. therapy there is. It's so good.
even good for you.
It's awesome. I am so calm and creative for the week afterwards. It's fantastic. Yeah.
I'm sure. Well, and if people need to go to arsbellumfoundation.org, and it talks about this, and it even says there's a place where you can join in. It said, join Ars Bellum Foundation, Special Forces Association, and Super America for our third annual Skydive for Vets, and that's Skydive, the number for vets, tandem skydive at Skydive Twin Cities in the Baldwin Drop Zone to raise awareness of PTSD and raise money to support our programs that help veterans heal. Wow. I would love to do that. I'm already looking at that thinking, how could I make that happen? Because that's something
it's
I've always
September
thought would
9th.
Be fun.
Oh, it's September 9th. Come out.
Oh my goodness. That would be so fun. I cannot tell you. And I was going to ask you if you jumped, and sure enough, you have. In the minute we have left, and if you're just tuning in for some reason, you're listening to Bridget Cronin, the executive director of the Ars Bellum Foundation. It's an organization that provides art therapy programs for veterans and military members dealing with military family members dealing with PTSD. It sounds like, according to the website, that you are building a bigger network of professionals to expand the work of Ars Bellum so that there's help for vets going forward.
We are. We're expanding our locations here in Minnesota, but we're also expanding beyond Minnesota's borders. So we're talking with folks in Florida, in North Carolina, in Oregon, Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin.
Wow. That's fantastic. Once again, I want everybody to go to the website, check it out, see if you want to get involved, if you want to donate, if you want to do the Skydive for Vets that's in Minnesota. It sounds like a lot of fun, and I'm sure it's very safe because those tandem jumps are. The website, arsbellumfoundation.org. Man, Bridget Cronin, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I wish you all the best in your work helping our veterans. And thanks so much for taking the time out of your evening there, your dinner there, to talk to me and be on the show.
Oh, this is fun. I get to sit on a deck with beautiful Minnesota weather, and a good friend of mine is sitting with me, and I'm chatting with you, so it's great.
It's fun times talking about worthy stuff, and I love it. Well, God bless you. You keep doing great stuff, and I'll have you back on again sometime.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tammy. I appreciate it.
You bet. Take care. You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I will be back on the other side of the break with commentator Timothy Shea. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Rent-A-Computer. An agent from Rent-A-Computer can save your company time and money on your next short-term need for a computer, audiovisual, or office equipment rental. Rentacomputer.com delivers the rental hardware your event needs to your office, trade show booth, or event venue location anywhere in the United States or Canada. Their offerings include Apple iPads, iPhones, Microsoft Surface tablets, and even copiers. So, If you're planning your next corporate event, remember, Rent-A-Computer provides superior turnkey event rental service with one point of contact for clients, both large and small. Visit rentacomputer.com or call them at 800-736-8772. That's rentacomputer.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Be his first day back in a bed, not surrounded by hospital monitors. Be his first awkward dance at prom, his interview at his first real job.
When you join the Be the Match Merrill Registry, you unlock the power to save a life and all the living that comes with it.
Be his memory of warm summer nights surrounded by fireflies. Be his tent beneath the stars, his perfectly sharpened marshmallow stick, and his first burnt marshmallow.
Go to BeTheMatch.org to find more information on the power inside you and the life-threatening diseases that power can heal. With a simple swab from inside your cheek, you'll be a registered marrow donor.
Be his freedom on the open road, his first traffic ticket, his first, and if he can help it, his last opera.
Thousands of patients, young and old, are searching for a match. Be the one to save a life. Take the first step at BeTheMatch.org.
Pops Radio, short for Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, with Scott Jones on the 405media.com.
Brett Baer, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Hey, great to be here.
Tom Rogan, thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
Cheryl Atkinson, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is Washington just totally dysfunctional? I mean, to me, this is just unprecedented, Cheryl.
These ties are so deep now, and so at least giving the appearance of corruption, I think people have come to just kind of throw up their hands and distrust nearly every official establishment body.
And your words here on our air today should be horrifying, if not motivating, for anyone who's sitting on the fence about this.
Pissed Off, Politically Speaking, Monday, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, only on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech, and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
Welcome back. Happy Tuesday night. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show, and now I'm joined by my guest, Timothy Shea. Timothy Shea has been active in GOP politics deep behind enemy lines in the Northeast for over 40 years. The former host of Radio Red Nation Rising, he's a political commentator and essayist. Timothy, my friend, welcome back to the Tammy Jackson Show.
Thanks, Tammy. Great to be on with you.
Well, you're a good one. Whenever I'm thinking, oh, I want somebody to come on and talk about all the latest, I immediately think of you, and you're usually kind enough to oblige me. So I just had a bunch of things to throw out there. What were you going to say?
I just wish we had something to talk about. There's really not anything going on in the world these days. I mean, between the fat kid in North Korea, Hank Johnson's fears that Guam might tip over kind of got overshadowed this afternoon. We've got Caitlyn Jenner supporting Trump and then deciding, well, she didn't really mean to do that after all. And there's just so much craziness going on.
There's a lot of craziness going on. So we're going to throw out some different stuff. So let's start with the whole Mueller investigation, which every time I hear about it, it's worse. And Rich Lowry, and he's no fan of President Trump. Everybody should know that. He's over at the corner at National Review, and he writes, CNN is out with a new report on the investigation. It's not surprising that Paul Manafort is, if this report is to be believed, at the center of the suspicions. What is also not surprising is where this thing is probably ultimately headed, which is not toward blowing the lid off a conspiracy to steal the election, but toward tracking down potential financial wrongdoing only loosely related to the original subject matter of the investigation. In other words, it looks like this could be a textbook special counsel investigation, ever widening until there is something to prosecute, no matter how removed from the initial alleged offense. What do you think, Timothy?
Well, what I think is we've talked about this before. I'm still amazed that Rod Rosenstein has a job, okay? Naming Clinton fixer, longtime Clinton fixer, and Comey mentor. Let's not forget that James Comey was also a Clinton fixer. He covered up for Bill and Hillary three different times, the Mark Rich pardon, the Uranium One deal, and then the email deal.
Yes.
The fact that Mueller was named in the first place is an absolute, it's a travesty of a mockery of a sham, okay? And I was really happy to see that they came out today and instructed him that his investigation is to be limited to Russia. All of this this fishing expedition he's been on has now been cut off. So that's a positive development.
That's true. I was going to say this very same thing. Mueller is a BFF with James Comey, and it seems to me, and pretty much everyone I know, like you and other people watching this whole event, that there is a deep state agenda taking place.
Oh, there's no question. And McMaster's in on it. I don't like McMaster at all. I think he needs to be sent back to the Army. Don't forget, McMaster survived Obama's purge of senior command. Okay, all the patriots in the
which
senior
makes
commands,
me nervous.
Exactly. All the patriots in senior commands in the Air Force, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and even the Coast Guard were purged if they said, for example, they would not fire on American citizens. Or there was a whole litmus test. And captains were not promoted. Lieutenant colonels didn't make colonel. Full birds didn't make general. And generals were purged, as we saw. So right. I'm not a fan of McMaster at all. I don't think that for somebody that was lauded as making the best decisions in the history of decisions, President Trump has made an absolute dog's breakfast of his administration so far in terms of the appointments he's made. I mean, Rex Tillerson clearly does not want to be Secretary of State. The McMaster at NSA is a disaster. We've had Jeff Sessions basically neutered. He had to be. Sessions did the right thing by recusing himself under the law, but politically, he got himself boxed into a corner by the Democrats.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
The Democrats will never, ever, ever relent. And I posted earlier today, here's a preview of Clinton fixer and Comey mentor Robert Mueller's grand jury proceedings. Witness: I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I've known Donald Trump for years, and he's a warm, wonderful human being. Mueller: would the clerk read that statement back, please? Court clerk: I've known Donald Trump for years, and he's a rotten, conniving, dishonest little rat. Mueller: okay, I just wanted to make sure you were getting it down correctly. I mean, this whole thing is, I don't even care about the money, okay, because D.C. is nothing but a big money suck on the economy anyway.
Right.
It's the whole idea that all of this is going on, and they're tut-tutting, and they're wringing their hands, and they're, oh, this is very serious, when there's nothing there. There's absolutely nothing there. And yet real crimes get covered up, and now we learn just tonight that Hillary Clinton's lawyer has been offered a plea deal. If she signs a document saying that she committed crimes that she violated the law, they're not even calling them crimes, that she violated the law with her handling of top secret confidential information. She, A, will face no jail time, and DOG won't investigate all of her pay-for-play crimes with the Clinton Crime Family Foundation. That's absolutely outrageous and completely unacceptable. If DOJ does that, Trump just lost in 2020. He might as well not even run.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's something heinous. Now, I do have to say, in his defense, and I'm like you. He was never my first choice and all that kind of stuff. So we are where we are. But he does have some great appointments he made. I think of Mike Price. I think of a number of people that I think are fantastic. But McMaster.
But the big players, the big seats. I'm really, really, really happy to have Chaos sitting over at the Pentagon. General Mattis. He is just absolutely top notch. He should have been named initially. He should have been the first pick.
Yes, yes. And the fact is that all my friends in the military and retired officers from the military that I know, most of them said that DOD needed to be cleaned from top to bottom, stem to stern, literally. And any Obama appointments need to be gone, flat out gone. Because what they were interested in with our military, with the Department of Defense, was all kinds of social experimentation and not the job of fighting wars, winning wars, keeping America safe. That it was just an entirely different agenda. And they need to be gone. Like you, I think the whole Mueller thing is a big, big snafu. Although, now, something that's happened recently, though, how do you feel about John Kelly being the chief at the White House?
Well, so far, so good. I like that he can institute some discipline. I think it was 100% spot on to say that journalists would not be prosecuted for leaks. Journalists should not be. Getting leaks is their job. The prosecutions should be among West Wing and department personnel that actually leak to the press. Those are the people that need to be prosecuted when that does indeed violate the law. Now, sometimes you want leaks, right? You use leaks.
Yes.
To say things that you can't say on the record. Exactly. Yeah. We're talking about the leaks that have been very, very damaging, not only to this administration, but to the national security of the United States.
Yes. Yes. Well, I do know that General John Kelly is a USMC general, and he's never been known as a politically correct person. So the thought of him being in the White House, I asked a friend of mine, Lieutenant Colonel Freddie Blish, what he thought, and he said, I'm excited. He will clean that place up. And he said, and in fact, I know a number of lieutenant colonels, colonels, and generals who would gladly give up 6 months to 2 years of their life to help go clean up that swamp that is Washington, D.C. And they do it gladly, even though they don't like the idea of being in D.C. To help their country, they would do it. And I thought, oh, man, from your lips to God's ears, I'd love
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And, you know, we do have a lot of patriots. And I don't mean to be completely negative about the administration. We've seen some tremendous strides. I think Justice Gorsuch is probably the best justice that has been named.
Fantastic.
I used to think that Justice Roberts was a great pick, but we all learned how wrong that was.
Right.
But I think Justice Gorsuch is going to be, he is the worthy successor of Justice Alito. Justice Scalia.
Scalia.
And I'm going to leave it like that. He's the best appointment since Alito. There have been a lot of wins. We just had another win today. Obama's EPA was ruled by his rule against hydrofluorocarbons in air conditioners was struck down by a court saying that EPA did not have the authority to make such a rule. Okay, we need to have more and more of these rulings curtailing what the executive can do. We've got a runaway executive. Obama absolutely blew out the balance of power, and it's been an increasing trend, but he took it to extremes. And we really, you know, we've mentioned several times, the two of us, I would love nothing better than to have a government that fits inside the Constitution.
Yep.
That's all. That's all I want. That's not radical. That's not crazy. Just fit it inside the Constitution, and we're good. There are certainly legitimate purposes for government power and government authority. One of the things I love is in the left is screaming bloody murder, is using federal largesse to induce, quote unquote, states to do the Fed's bidding. Okay, the left did it with seatbelt laws. They did it with the drinking age, saying you wouldn't get highway funds if you didn't pass a seatbelt law and you didn't raise the drinking age to 21. It used additional funds, threatened to deny additional funds if they didn't raise the smoking age to 18 from 16. There's a long history of the federal government coercing states to doing its bidding by using money, you know, basically bribery, saying in one way or another, we'll give you extra money if you do this, or we're going to take away existing money that you have, that you've budgeted for, that your state relies on, if you don't do that. And we're starting to see that struck down. But now, okay, the Republicans are starting to talk about, well, maybe, and this is what I said, I don't want it to be done with money, but I would love to see Congress pass a law that says if you do not pass a voter ID bill requiring government-issued photo ID and maintain a clean registration of voters, then your senators and congressmen will not be seated and your electors will not, your presidential electors will not be certified. California has more registered voters than they do adults of voting age in 11 counties.
Wow.
And 10 of those 11, 10 of those 11 are Democrat counties. Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, San Mateo, Santa Ana. It's out of control, the voter fraud.
It is. When we come back, I want to talk about some things. Google, what's going on there? Tillerson, there's just a lot of stuff going on, even though we kid that there's not. The Tammy Jackson Show with my great guest, Timothy Shea, will be back to wrap up the hour after the break. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robar Guns, a true custom firearms and firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. They're a fantastic shop. You ought to visit them if you're in Phoenix. They're found online at robarguns.com. They can give your worn firearm new life, but they also have several custom guns, firearms that they create. They've got beautiful 1911s that are just an absolute work of art. They've got lightweight polymer 15s. That's the cousin to the AR-15, but they're lightweight, about the 5-pound range. It's got a polymer upper and lower receiver. They've got more, but for those of you who truly want the best of the best, Robar's Firearms, they're crafted by gunsmiths who are true gunsmiths. They're experts at their trade. So whether you want to give your worn firearm new life or you want a new custom pistol or rifle, check out robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
On the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out. Wrestling Mayhem Show right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
You're on the 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every
other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
You're on the 405.
In Disney's classic The Lion King, Mufasa teaches his cub Simba to be confident, wise, and respectful of the world around him. As Simba grows, it's these values that help him claim his place as King of Pride Rock. In our world, every young person's future deserves the solid foundation that a father's involvement and encouragement can provide. And often, it's the smallest moments that can have the biggest impact on a child's life. A game of catch, an afternoon picnic, or even a hug at just the right moment can make all the difference in their world. Play your part in the circle of life. Take time to be a dad today. Visit fatherhood.gov to learn more. That's fatherhood.gov. This message has been brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back for the final segment of the Tammy Jackson Show with my guest, Timothy Shea. In case you're just joining the show, Timothy Shea has been active in GOP politics behind enemy lines in Northeast for over 40 years. He's a political commentator and essayist. Timothy, I wanted to talk a little bit about the deal with Google. Are you following that? Did you read the James DeMore, or however you pronounce his last name? I've read it everywhere, but I haven't heard it pronounced. Have you read his memo that he did, and what do you think about the whole deal?
We will have diversity unless you disagree with us, and then you are excommunicated.
That's perfect. That's exactly right. You know,
this guy writes one of the most spot-on manifestos I have ever read. I mean, usually when you say manifesto, you're talking about Ted Kaczynski wackadoo written on toilet paper, 17 rolls of nonsense, right? This was one of the most cogent articles and statements of principle that I have ever read. I couldn't believe it was coming from somebody at Google. It's like, man, how did he get past HR? Well,
not anymore. As Inspector Clouseau would say.
Exactly. That was a priceless harpsichord. Not anymore.
No, Steinway.
Not Steinway, yeah. Yeah. So they 86 this kid right away. And I hope and pray he sues them for wrongful termination, because that is, okay, the left are the biggest hypocrites. They are the fascists. They are the ones who cannot tolerate diversity of thought. They will ram diversity down our throats when it comes to any manner of sexual perversion or political perversion or cultural perversion. But anytime you disagree with them on any issue, that's the other thing. If you look, somebody can be 99% with the SJWs, but they step out of line once and they're like piranha on a leg of lamb.
Yes. Yep. Exactly right. Exactly. Now, I want to talk, we just have about 3 minutes left here, but I want to talk about Sec State Tillerson. I was willing to give him a chance. My first choice would have been former UN Ambassador John Bolton. Love the guy. And as I told you during the break, many of my military friends have warned me that appointees to the Department of State have the tendency to, quote, go native, end quote. And they suddenly fall under the influence of the country where they're posted. They loosen their reliance on the Constitution and national sovereignty. And pretty much they just go full bore leftist in that department. So I figure John Bolton was tough as nails in the corrupt United Nations swamp. He would be, I believe, likewise in state, at state What are your thoughts?
Well, I think he would be great. What people who haven't done any time in D.C. might not understand is that the State Department is the heart of the swamp. Okay, the Foreign Service officers are locked in. They're not political appointees below a certain level, and they just weather the storm. If they get a president that they don't like, if they get a patriotic president like W. or Reagan, they just ride it out knowing it's only going to be 4 or 8 years. And then they're going to get somebody like Clinton who gives North Korea nukes, or Obama who gives Iran nukes, so that they can undermine American interests around the world. Because that's really what they're all about. Okay, they're not about spreading democracy. They're about undermining our standing in the world, because they absolutely loathe the fact that we are the shining beacon of freedom around the world, and that we are as strong as we are. Okay, so they really are undermining. It's completely oxymoronic. Our Department of State is the biggest opponent of state, and Bolton would face even more opposition at state than Trump is with the media and with the rest of the swamp, because they will just get their back up, and you know what? He won't care. He won't. He will go in there with a power washer and a shovel.
Yes.
And that's what we need.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I love the idea, because he takes no nonsense. He just absolutely brooks no nonsense. And he would do so at state. And as you said, we really, really need that. Now, Tillerson, he has some skills, but to my mind, he's a little too soft-spoken and unabrasive, and he's more about, you know, smoothing things over, of schmoozing and getting things done. We really need somebody that's got a spine of steel. Like
somebody that's going to knock some heads. I mean, you know, yes. Tillerson's no conservative, okay? He was the main reason why the Boy Scouts abandoned their protection of young boys by mandating that they have homosexual troop leaders and homosexual scouts. That was Tillerson's doing almost single-handedly when he was at ExxonMobil. He's probably the most accomplished and experienced executive we've ever had as a Secretary of State. But he's not anybody that's really interested in the job. He kind of took it because he wanted to do something for the country, I think. I think he has done a lot of things behind the scenes. Right. But okay, enough already. It's been 6 months. Let's start coming out and let's start being a bold advocate of American interests around the world. He's too soft-spoken. For the first time, you know, he broke tradition by not announcing the State Department's human rights report himself. There's just a lot that he isn't doing.
Yep, that's so true. And of course, the time just sped by. We've got to wrap it up. But Timothy Shea, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show tonight. I always love to hear what you have to say about what's happening.
Thanks, Tammy. Great to be on.
I'll have you back again. Thanks for listening. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 will be back next week with political cartoonist A.F. Branco. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Don't be silent. Let your voice be heard, because we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth, and I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do, and the choir sang. Boy, no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't survive.